Empire Lines uncovers the unexpected, often two-way, flows of empires through art. Interdisciplinary thinkers use individual artworks as artifacts of imperial exchange, revealing the how and why of the monolith empire.
Jeunes étoiles des As, qui vous chante un très bon produit qui traite actuellement en Afrique, en Europe, en Amérique, la malaria chronique. C'est l'Artemisia afra et l'Artemisia anoa qui viennent du Vietnam et de la Chine. C'est une grande histoire, M. Royan vous pourra vous parler encore. Mais c'est l'orchestre Jeunes Étoiles d'Artemisia qui vous chante maintenant la chanson, la meilleure chanson d'Artemisia afra.
In this episode, curators Hannah Hooks and Misha Kirsten connect global environments and food practices, from guerrilla gardeners in the Democratic Republic of Congo to foragers in Palestine, challenging extractive colonial approaches to land through contemporary art at the Eden Project in Cornwall.
Hello, my name's Hannah Hooks and I am the curator here at the Eden Project in Cornwall, and I have co-curated this exhibition, Acts of Gathering.
My name is Misha Kirsten and I'm the senior curator, and I also co-curated this exhibition with Hannah.
Acts of Gathering explores ceremonies and practices of food production, harvesting and sharing, connecting cultures and artists from across the world. And likewise, there are so many sounds overlapping in the space. We can hear echoes of Better Days Are Coming, an audio piece by the Ghanaian artist Serge Atukwe Clotty. Stay tuned for more on him very soon. But we've just been listening to Jeunes Étoiles des As, a group which promised to tell us a grand story of Artemisia afra. What is Artemisia afra?
Artemisia afra is a plant, so there are thousands of different variants of Artemisia. We in fact have Artemisia annua growing here at the Eden Project, and that's the tea that you were served earlier. But Artemisia afra is a particular variant that is indigenous to the Democratic Republic of Congo, and it is used as a prevention and a treatment for malaria. It is grown in this instance by a women's cooperative, which is based in Lumata, just south of Lubumbashi in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Les Jeunes Étoiles des As are a duo, so they are actually two husbands of two of the women in the cooperative. They sing and play guitar and wrote this beautiful song, which you can hear, which is all about the virtues of Artemisia afra, and as you say, imploring people to understand it and respect it and honour it. The video of the song is part of a three-channel video installation by Uriel Orlo, which is called Learning from Artemisia.
And the group's French name speaks to the fact that the Democratic Republic of Congo was formerly a Belgian colony from the late 19th century. In 1920, the colonial administration separated Elizabethville, which is a province of Lubumbashi, into two parts. The central section, supposedly a buffer zone that was intended to prevent the spread of malaria. How is the history of malaria treatment, indeed the history of Western medicine, tied with histories of empire?
Yeah, so artemisinin is still the main ingredient in anti-malarial drugs that, you know, most people travelling from the West to countries like Africa would take. Obviously, in huge parts of Africa, lots of people don't have access to those licensed drugs. They can be incredibly expensive or hard to get hold of. And so it's shedding a light onto those types of scenarios. And it's also looking to celebrate those traditional relationships with other types of plants, which can be used in those ways, you know, which haven't been extracted yet, perhaps by large pharmaceuticals, but are still used and believed to be effective by the communities that use them.
It's really interesting because it also decenters globalization to look at solidarity between other non-Western countries. One of the lines in the song is, when the Americans were waging war in Vietnam, check on which side there were more dead, it was the Americans, which is a point about how this is a plant that has been cultivated in China for over 2,000 years.
with reference to the artwork and the artist, his practice engages with the legacies of colonialism and ideas of memory and social and ecological justice. But essentially the work is exploring the sustainable cultivation of Artemisia afra for the purposes of traditional medicine as a way of caring for the health of both people and land, but also creating pathways to kind of non-extractive relationships with natural resources and community solidarity. In terms of the themes of this exhibition, it's really thinking about how and why some of these practices and customs are celebrated and others oppressed.
The song also talks about malaria as the pandemic of the century, I think a stark reminder about the very Western-centric reporting and response to COVID-19. Uriel is from Switzerland, and he mentions in the slides how he's acutely aware of his position as a white European, even of writing his slides on a laptop made with cobalt, a mineral that's mined also in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
So whilst Uriel is a white Western artist and acknowledges that, there's a consciousness around his work having that non-Western centric approach and it being collaborative and platforming the work that is going on in other parts of the world. And again, to raise those difficult questions in this safe space.
We see why some local methods are supported or commodified, where other local sustainable practices are marginalised by globalisation, industrial farming, and neo-imperial relationships with global seed and grain corporations, as well as Big Pharma. I found it interesting that Artemisia is opposed by the World Health Organization and banned in some European countries, which is forcing the collectives you mentioned into what they call guerrilla gardening. What is it and why are they having to practice in this way?
It's that coming together of women, and it's about stewardship and it's about sharing knowledge and it's also about protecting your families. So the cooperative that Uriel worked with are producing Artemisia afra and selling it within the local community and planting more gardens within the local community. So this type of guerrilla gardening where you do it without permission, you are educating through direct experience and passing on those kind of knowledge and traditions and having an income which gives you access to other types of, you know, insurances and healthcare and education.
And there's a connection there with a film by Jemana Mana called Foragers, which is part of this exhibition. And that film focuses on Israeli nature protection laws in Palestine and how that impacts farming there. It's clear that both food and contemporary art are non-conventional sources of history in this exhibition. And I wonder, with respect to Artemisia and its Latin name, how engaging with contemporary art also helps us to engage with the colonial roots of things like botany.
What we are trying to do at Eden through our cultural programs is allow platforms for other voices to be heard. We're not trying to tell people what to think. I always think that science and art are like two sides of the same coin, both trying to make sense of the world, but where one perhaps kind of rationalizes and creates taxonomies of knowledge, the other is more about opening out. So providing provocations and inspiring critical thought and critical dialogue.
It's a Congolese medication, they sing. I plead you, mothers, take this and you'll feel better. It's almost like an advert at times. The song also speaks to the fact this is a treatment from our ancestors. And I wonder what you think about the role of music as community practice, but also as a means by which knowledge and memory is passed down through generations.
We're really interested in that. So we often talk about how through artistic practice we can challenge these ideas of Western rationalism, which is the idea that knowledge has an inherently logical structure, and actually that there are these kind of pluralistic approaches to knowledge that include imagination, and tacit storytelling has been an important way of sharing knowledge for thousands and thousands of years, but because it's not accredited in ways that the Western world define as legitimate, that knowledge can easily be lost.
we talk about within the exhibition sort of food and plants as being sort of vessels for beliefs and cultures and a way of sustaining memory and a way of sustaining connection to both people and the land.
When considering solutions to the planetary emergency, it feels really important that we approach that from a much more holistic perspective. Gus Speth, who is an environmental lawyer and one of the co-founders of the National Resource Defence Council, he used to believe the top environmental problems were biodiversity decline, ecosystem collapse, and climate change. And he believed that with 30 years of good science, we could address those problems. But he was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to address those, we need a cultural and spiritual transformation. And scientists don't know how to do that. It all speaks to the same idea that we need to include emotion and we need to include subjectivity within these conversations.
Definitely. Acts of gathering is more constructive, focusing on solidarity and how we all lose out when traditions are lost. There's definitely, too, a focus on participation. What does taking part in an exhibition like this mean for the people who come to the Eden Project?
So our visitors at the Eden Project are very, very diverse and broad, and we have a lot of intergenerational groups coming, a lot of children often brought by their grandparents. We have a lot of school groups, and a lot of our visitors won't necessarily go to another gallery that year. So what we try and do, as Misha was saying, is bring people on a journey through storytelling and through art and invite subjective responses. And participation is a really big part of that, because I think it's an open invitation for people to get involved, to use their hands, to taste things, and to explore the works through a multitude of ways. So by inviting somebody to make a small sculpture inspired by nature, which will then be added to one of the sort of tongue-like forms of Maria Nepomuceno's Você Me Alimentar, which means you feed me, you're inviting a very direct relationship with that artwork, which takes you on a journey and invites you to understand or maybe open your mind to some of the other ideas that the work is exploring. And similarly with the Artemisia tea, just by having somebody say, would you like to try the tea, and you having a taste of it, and then talking more about the kind of wide range of health benefits it has, allows you to start thinking about some of those more complicated ideas we've been talking about to do with land rights and colonialism and guerrilla gardening. Participatory elements are very important to the work that we do here to inspire different ways of thinking.
Definitely. There's a lot said, I think, about activation, immersion, participation in the museum space, but this is a real concrete example of that. And indeed, quite interesting connections between cultures. You mentioned earlier that this is an exhibition both hyper-local and global. We can see Kent-born artist Jonathan Baldock's Corn Dollies, which also bear a striking resemblance to the sort of globalised African mask. Likewise, this space is part of its own ecology of arts institutions in Cornwall. How else is Eden collaborating with the local community and beyond?
So there's a thriving creative ecology down here in the southwest. The nearest big institutions to us are The Box in Plymouth, which is about an hour 20 in one direction, and Tate St Ives, Newlyn Gallery, and The Exchange, which are kind of St Ives and Penzance, about an hour 20 in the other direction. And there are a growing number of artists living and practicing in Cornwall, artists with national global profile. We always think about how we can connect that hyperlocal, who's living and working in the southwest. So, for example, we have works by Nina Royal and Lucy Stein, who are based in Newlyn, Penzance and St Just. And then we will also partner with institutions like CAST, an artist studio and exhibition space in Helston, and they have a phenomenal screening room. So we will collaborate with them to show films like Foragers. There are upcoming artists like Anna Harris who work with us in the gallery programme, but will also contribute to things like workshops on site.
And this multimedia installation by Uriel incorporates music as well as video and an amazing painting on the walls. At the very end, we see Uriel talking about how he now drinks Artemisia tea every single day. How do you think this work helps us understand how we, from our position in Western Europe, can learn from local practices across the world?
What we've tried to present throughout the exhibition is that we can learn both from traditional knowledges in other parts of the world, as well as in our own country and in our own county even. The Eden Project is situated in a former clay mine. It couldn't be a greater kind of mark of extraction upon the landscape. And that idea of kind of learning and regenerating and growing from a site of destruction kind of runs through, I think, a lot of the work that we're trying to do across the Eden Project, social, economic and environmental regeneration for benefiting human health. There's a huge focus in terms of cultural programming on different ways of knowing, different types of knowledges. And so Uriel's work and learning from Artemisia is really kind of fundamental to that. Thinking about what non-extractive processes, alternative ways of gathering, of planting, of learning from the land and each other could look like.
Misha, Hannah, thank you ever so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you so much for joining us here in Cornwall.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you again in January.
Acts of Gathering runs at the Eden Project in Cornwall until the 14th of April 2024. For more, join Empire Lines in conversation with artist Serge Atakwe-Clotty at Reclaim, a weekend of talks and events at Eden, curated to support mental and planetary well-being, which takes place from the 27th to the 28th of January 2024. You'll find all the links in the episode notes. Empire Lines is produced by Yelena Sofronievich. For more episodes, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So whilst Uriel...
You need some more tea.